Big changes are happening at the Colburn School. Frank Gehry is currently designing them a new concert hall and theater space in downtown LA, and the Colburn Orchestra, which turned 15 this year, just went on its first ever tour abroad. The orchestra, which has produced musicians who are now with the LA Philharmonic, the Boston Symphony, and the London Philharmonic, was invited to perform at the prestigious Edinburgh International Festival, and they turned it into a mini tour by also hopping over to Dublin. A few weeks ago, the band packed their bags and flew to Scotland, and I got to tag along for the ride. In the Colburn entourage was President Sel Carden, who explained some of the basics about the orchestra and this tour.
So the orchestra is comprised of our conservatory students, and the conservatory, the total enrollment is 120 roughly, maybe 125, plus a class of pianists. We have between 15 and 18 pianists. So really, the entire student body, without the pianist, is the orchestra. And it ranges from ages 18, so our incoming freshmen, through graduate programs, so probably 25, 26.
So was there any competitiveness to be able to come on the tour, or did everyone get to come?
It was a challenging time of year because it's the season of summer festivals all over the world. So it was a puzzle putting the orchestra together. Some students were coming out of summer festivals, some simply couldn't. Those were at festivals that were still going on. So the orchestra on the tour it's an interesting combination of some of our incoming students, new students, some of our returning students, and a few who graduated just in May. So it's really represents sort of past, present, future, I suppose, of the school.
And what was the catalyst for the tour? What prompted this?
Well, the conservatory now is in its 15th year. The school has really matured over the years, and as the reputation of the school continues to grow, we thought this was an opportune time. We had an invitation from the Edinburgh Festival, which one doesn't easily turn down, one of the great festivals in the world, that about 2 years ago came about, and so we've been planning for the last 2 years for this.
What are the plans for the orchestra? Is this kind of the first of bigger things for what you hope to do with the orchestra?
Well, I think so. We've done some recording in the past. We have a few commercial recordings, both under the baton of our music director, Yehuda Glad, and several other projects that we did. And I think we would, on occasion, on an irregular basis, like to continue this. It's been a great opportunity, not only musically for the students, but also culturally. And given the aspirations of the school to truly be an international conservatory, it certainly lifts our international reputation to do so.
The concert program, which they'd been rehearsing for just 2 days at home and had a trial run at the Soraya in Northridge, was a mix of new and old. Nyx, the 2011 tone poem by Esa-Pekka Salonen, Samuel Barber's violin concerto, the symphonic dances by Rachmaninoff, and for a crowd-pleasing encore, Leonard Bernstein's Candide Overture. At one of the two rehearsals in Edinburgh, inside a college hall just outside the main part of town, the orchestra got a masterclass from their renowned tour conductor, Maestro Stéphane Deneuve.
Much more, everybody. We say in French, to réveiller un mort, like to wake up a dead person, it's like a bam! Bachimu! Why? In Russian. Allez, go for it.
The touring orchestra is a combination of current conservatory students and alumni, a collection of world-class musicians from all over the world. During a break, I talked to Samuel Chan, one of the percussionists.
I'm from Hong Kong, and I'm doing an artist diploma program at Colburn. I just finished my first year, so it's going to be my second year next year.
How long have you been playing percussion?
I started at 6 years old, so I think it's almost 20 years now.
And was it your family that wanted you to play, or were you drawn to playing yourself?
I first started because my parents signed me up for percussion classes. But I grew interest when I was studying it, and it was me who decided to pursue music as a career.
And what brought you to Colburn?
Because of the faculty, for sure. I like my teacher here a lot, and I also like how supportive the school is towards all the students. So as you know, or you might not know already, all the students who get to study at Colburn received full tuition support, and also towards room and board. And this is a very generous support from the school, and not many schools in the U.S. has this opportunity. So I feel very unfortunate.
Have you been enjoying it so far, just being in Edinburgh and rehearsing here?
Yeah, I actually got to walk around the city a lot because I got here the first day on an earlier flight, and I love the city. It is so historic, and the buildings are so European, and it seems to have a lot of history here, and just so nice.
Have you eaten any haggis yet?
I had, but I don't like it, actually. I don't know. It just is something that I've never tried before, but that tastes very foreign to me. And maybe I need some time to get used to it.
Don't we all? what's your favorite part of this program?
For me, I like the Knicks by Sunderland the best because I am a big fan of new music. And also, I have a really fun part. I'm playing vibraphone, and I like his writing so much.
I also spoke to 20-year-old Cassie Drake, a violist from Naples, Florida, in her third year of undergrad at Colburn.
How long have you been playing the viola?
14 years.
What got you started on it in the first place?
My older sister started on violin, and I wanted to be just like her, so I tried violin, and we're too close in age, so my parents were like, oh, that's not a good idea, and switched me to viola.
What's your Colburn experience been like so far?
It's been amazing. There's so many great people to meet, and I love my teacher. I love studying. I love the atmosphere. It's great.
What's your favorite piece on this program?
I love the Rachmaninoff. It's amazing. It's fun to play. It's very hard, but it's worth it to play.
What have you gotten out of rehearsing with Maestro Deneve?
He has a way with words. It's amazing. Like, he'll say something, and you'll be like, oh, okay, and then you'll try it, and it just works. It just sounds perfect. His analogies, his stories, it's amazing.
Is this your first time in Edinburgh?
Yes, it's my first time. My teacher's actually from here, and so it's amazing to hear his stories and then just like having imagined what it looked like and then being here and seeing everyone and hearing the accents. It's been fun. Yeah.
Have you eaten any haggis yet?
Yeah, I didn't really like it. It was okay. There was one with pig's blood that was not my favorite. But I had it. It was okay.
What have you liked most so far on the tour experience?
On the tour, exploring. And getting to know the group better, because we do know each other, but this is like getting to know them on a whole nother level and just bonding.
What's your sort of dream for your career?
My dream would be to be able to do everything, a little bit of orchestra, a little bit of soloing, chamber, lessons, just get my hands in everything.
Her friend Aubrey Oliverson from Orem, Utah, and also 20, plays violin.
What made you decide to go to Colburn, or what led you there?
Definitely my teacher, Mr. Robert Lipsett. I wanted to study with him for a while, and I played for him, and I knew that it was the right fit for me.
What's special about Colburn versus another music college or another conservatory?
Well, there are a lot of things. That's a really good question. But one of my favorite things is that the spirit there and the feeling is really like Team Colburn. You know, we're not trying to compete with one another. It's like we support each other. At least that's how I think most of us feel, is that we just support each other if one of us is doing really well, you know, and we try to help each other rather than, you know, get above one another.
How have you enjoyed the tour experience so far?
I've loved it. I love traveling, first of all, and Deneve is one of my favorite conductors ever, and so working with him has been phenomenal, and I love the rep, and I love exploring the city.
I mean, is this just like a fun international getaway, or is this going to help you in your playing or your career? Do you see like benefits on that side of things?
No, it's just kind of a stress-free experience. I'm just an orchestra, you know, not soloing or anything. So very stress-free. We get to explore and I'm loving it.
What have you gotten out of working with Deneve?
My favorite thing about him is how he always is there to serve the music, and it's not about him and his ego at all. And I love that he's just has such a generous heart, and you can tell.
The way he kind of gets you guys to finesse your performance, the way he describes things, that's helpful for you?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I love his analogies. He always makes, you know, really interesting connections you wouldn't think of.
clarinet, oboe, flute 72. It's a bit too loud, and it has to be more liquid and or even vaporous, like the smoke of a witch cauldron. Ooh. 72, just you. 1, 2, 3, 1.
So every time we play a part and he said something about it, I think about that, and it helps a lot.
Do you guys write that stuff down? Like when he says, you know, imagine you're whispering the question to the other side or whatever. Do you write that down or do you sort of mentally process it?
Both. If it's something I feel like I want to write down, I write it down. I don't always write it, though.
And what's your dream for your career?
I love traveling. I love performing. So my dream would be to be a soloist and teach as well. And then maybe later in my life, switch over to mostly teaching. But we'll see what happens. I have an open mind.
The weather in Edinburgh was cold and rainy at one point, then sunny and beautiful. This place, an inspiration for Harry Potter's Hogwarts, is, I hate to use a cliche, but I gotta, downright magical. The city was overflowing with humans while we were there, because of the multiple festivals going on simultaneously, including the famous Fringe Festival. The streets were bustling with performances, jugglers, musicians, live statues, random singing mobs, and there were actors standing in the doorway of seemingly every church and building, inviting you in to watch their show. Finally, the big night at Usher Hall. The room was packed with folks eager to see what these young musicians had to offer. The enthusiasm was extra palpable because you could feel the stakes, like this was a tightrope walk. The response was rapturous, and Denev was visibly giddy. After the Rachmaninoff, he turned to the crowd and said, "What a ride, I feel young again." The next day, we flew to Dublin, and after a very short rehearsal at the National Concert Hall, I spoke to the maestro.
I'm curious, what do you enjoy about working with young players like this, as opposed to full-on professional musicians?
Well, strangely enough, for me, it's kind of the same in the sense that these young musicians of the Colburn School are so good that I'm not compromising and I'm not adapting my interpretation to them because they really deliver so high professional level that it is the same. But maybe what is even added is that they are hungry to learn also something from it. So I feel that there is something very pure and very fresh into their acceptance of what I can propose. It's not comparing with other interpretations or, you know, or sometimes, you know, when you conduct an orchestra that has a great habit playing a piece, then you feel you put your feet into the shoes of somebody else. But here, I have the feeling I can shape it, you know, from the start, the way I dream it. So it's extremely satisfying because you have a bit the best of both worlds.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that they are eager or hungry to prove themselves or to show what they can do in a way that maybe is different than an older orchestra?
Well, you certainly see that actually. Everything is possible, that there's no yet routine or habits or way to do it. So you really feel that every single person in the orchestra want to be involved at the same level as the other. So it feels like kind of a all stars orchestra, because everybody gives their best. And it's quite fascinating, the energy that is produced. I really feel I'm in front of an ensemble of soloists.
We talked just after one of the Edinburgh rehearsals, and you mentioned how well they play as a group together, or you were just struck by the cohesion or the soul in the playing. Why do you think that is?
That is still a mystery to me, to be honest. I don't know exactly why, without years of playing together, without a kind of DNA, why they would already offer such a cohesive sound. And I wonder if it has to do with the place, actually, because there is something that is distinctively glamorous and warm and for me, West Coast. I mean, in the kind of poetic idea I have about the West Coast, and that is really fascinating. So, do they develop together a certain idea of sound that then, when they play as an orchestra, it's right away distinctive? I do not know, but they really exceeded my expectation about that, about the quality of the cohesion, the sound produced, and the feeling I'm really conducting a fully formed orchestra.
What does this program, what opportunities does it provide these players, or why is it a good showcase for this group?
Obviously, the pieces are extremely virtuosic, and so it does show that all of them are in really incredible shape, that they all really, of course, are technically extremely at the peak of their career, when everything is spot on and the intonation is wonderful. I mean, really, the technical level is fabulous. But also, I think what is interesting in this program is that it is entirely written in America. If one composer is Russian, the other is Finnish. Still, you could feel that there is an influence of the country in these compositions. And I think the musician can then show their inner knowledge about this country. So somehow I think it's nationalism at its best, you know, when you just show the best values and virtues of a country. And I think this program can show that very well.
What are the benefits of playing for an international audience, or playing in a different country, for young musicians who are just about to start their career?
Many opportunities, actually. The one which is clear is a bonding experience, traveling together, and also dealing with the stress of playing in a very prestigious environment, and knowing that you will be judged, that there will be reviewers, that there will be a lot of important people, that you kind of show off indeed the institution. But also, I think the possibility to concentrate on a certain energy that you don't have always at home. I really feel that being together for so long and traveling together just create a camaraderie, a kind of team feeling. You know, that a sports team feels when they play, of course, not at home but somewhere else. Both experiences are great, of course, but I think it's a particular challenge that is important for a group of musicians.
The other star on the bill was Simone Porter, who performed the Barber Violin Concerto. Porter's a graduate from the Colburn Conservatory who started attending the school when she was 12. She made her debut with Gustavo Dudamel in the LA Phil last year, and she's definitely destined for a big career.
The violin began for me when I was 3.5 years old. My initial attraction to music was actually through opera. I fell in love with an opera CD that was in my parents' collection, and they had a very sort of casual relationship with classical music at that point. Enjoyed listening, but weren't very educated. So because of this CD in their collection, they noticed my interest and started taking me to more family concerts, at which point I guess I noticed the violin, became infatuated with it, and just bugged them until they let me begin. At which point I started with Suzuki for about 2 years, and then ended up in Seattle, where I met a teacher who really introduced me to sort of serious music making and thinking. Who eventually led me to Colburn in LA. So my passion for violin was allowed to develop very organically, for which I'm very thankful.
And what is your relationship to it now? Is it like a marriage, a friendship, a master-slave?
No, master-slave is not. I would definitely call it a partnership. I always speak of my instrument as sort of my partner in crime. It presents everything that is sort of the ideal of interpersonal relationship, and that it's very challenging, very rewarding, and everything I put into it, it will give back. So every single day is an adventure, I guess.
Let's talk about Colburn. I understand that your early times there were a bit of a commute?
Yes. So when I first started at Colburn, I was still living in Seattle. So from when I was 12 to when I was 14, I would fly between Seattle and LA every single week for lessons, which was certainly a commute, certainly a commitment. But I mean, looking back, it was the best decision I ever made.
Were you flying by yourself?
No, I was flying with my parents, usually my mom. My parents were both professors, so they were able to organize their teaching schedule to have that one day to taxi me back and forth. So my parents have learned along with me and applied their sort of academic intellectual curiosity to music. And it's been a great process for them as well. But without their support, without Colburn, I would be absolutely nowhere, obviously.
And what was so valuable at Colburn that warranted that kind of commute?
I came to study specifically with Robert Lipset, who is still my teacher and whose just expertise and depth of knowledge and empathetic connection to all of his students is really breathtaking. I have studied with Mr. Lipset for a long time now, and the lessons that he has bestowed on me and really all of his students extend far past just violin playing and really have universal and lifelong implications. Something that he has taught me a lot about is how to balance healthy dissatisfaction with contentment, basically. So that's certainly a struggle in violin playing, since your life should be always improving, always seeking out. If it's not technical perfection, then you know, you're always looking for the deeper layer of music, the next sort of narrative push, just always digging, really. You should never recover from your education in music. But that can be really exhausting, and it can also absolutely wear down your self-esteem. So he talks a lot about focusing on details in the preparation stage and on stage, realizing that perfection has absolutely no detail and that there's no point in doing it if you're not having fun. So attaining that balance has been something I apply certainly in my violin playing, but definitely also in the rest of my life.
And then you moved to LA, right? And you joined the pre-college academy, is that right?
Yes. So I had a very comprehensive experience at Colburn in that I started in the community school, moved to the academy, and I'm now in the conservatory. So I was in the academy living on campus for a few years, which allowed for my education and immersion to obviously just become all the more intense and complete. And that sort of really culminates, I feel like, this week. Being on stage is extremely moving right now because I feel like it's in direct symmetry and communication with the first time I ever saw Colburn and was awestruck when I was 11.
And did you play in the orchestra while you were in the conservatory?
Yes. So I've been a member of this orchestra many times, including when Maestro Deneve came and conducted our gala a couple years ago. But this is the first chance I've had to work with them in a solo capacity.
What's that like? And what's that like being kind of in these international halls with these international audiences?
It's both very nerve-wracking and very rewarding. I think playing for your colleagues has a special type of pressure because I care about their opinions very much, and I have so much respect for their own artistry that, you know, you want yours to be worthy, basically. So it's been very nerve-wracking, but the truth is, on stage, I can feel the support emanating from the orchestra, both just in the way we look at each other on stage and, of course, the way we play. The repertoire that we're playing, Barber, has some very intense musical conversations. It's not sort of this hierarchical soloist accompaniment structure. It really is a dialogue on stage, and so that makes it perfect for me to play with, you know, my favorite humans.
What do you enjoy about working with Maestro Deneve?
I think all of us are so inspired by Maestro Deneve this week. He combines just great thoughtfulness and knowledge with so much generosity on stage. Working with him really feels like a collaboration, like we are working to find this inner sympathy to really create something new together. So he's both offering us his just incredible guidance and a lot of respect, which just is so encouraging and rewarding. Rehearsals have been wonderful. I've learned a lot from him, and he's certainly given me a new perspective for the Barber Concerto, which I've played a number of times. And also being on stage is the perfect combination of stability and spontaneity.
And is this experience of traveling and playing, you know, in different cities, is this kind of what you envision for the rest of your life, kind of living on the road and playing, you know, with orchestras around the world?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I do a good amount of traveling and I like it a lot. There's definitely some hustle and bustle, but going over the world to perform wonderful repertoire with wonderful people, I don't think it could get any better.
Do you get to enjoy the cities that you're in when you're playing there, like experience the food and the culture and things like that?
Sometimes. I think it really depends on the place and how nervous I am and how much time I have. I think less than I would like to. I hope that the amount I get to appreciate a city and really immerse myself in the culture and whatnot has definitely increased as I've become more comfortable with performing and just gotten older. So I hope that trend will continue. I like to try and stay a little bit extra if I possibly can, if I'm going somewhere far or exotic or whatnot. For example, tomorrow, I don't have to leave Dublin until the afternoon. So once the pressure's off, I can wake up, walk around, really see it with clear eyes and no looming performance.
And have a morning Guinness, maybe?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. A couple Guinnesses tonight, too, I think.
Simone Porter was part of Colburn Artists, the in-house management program at the school, which I asked President Sel Carden about. So with Simone being here, can you talk a little bit about the Colburn Artists program, why that got started and sort of what it is?
In a past life, I was a presenter. I ran a concert series, and I always despaired that so many young artists were seeking opportunities and there were just so few spaces for them, and to distinguish themselves really was very, very challenging. And so when I came to the school, working with our faculty and our staff, we came up with this idea of sort of an internal management company that would help students pursuing solo careers, chamber music careers, make the bridge from purely student life to professional life. And so we run it as a little agency within the school. We have a roster of artists, Simone having been one of them. And the goal really is to start finding them professional engagements and representing them and giving them the materials, press materials, the website, photography, so forth, and really promote them to concert promoters with the ultimate goal of handing them off to professional agencies. And we've done that on several occasions now with Simone and other wonderful violinist Blake Pouliot. Both of them gone to a major agency, and then the Calidor String Quartet, and we're in the process of working with other young artists. So we feel, I mean, it's part of that obligation beyond simply giving them a wonderful education, but also really ensuring that they have the careers they deserve.
The concert in Dublin was unfortunately a little sparsely attended. I heard that the city has trouble attracting an audience as a rule, but the orchestra played just as passionately and perfectly as a few nights before, if not more. With the tour coming to an end, I had a bigger picture question for Maestro Deneve. I'm curious, from your perspective, is this a good time to be a musician, a young musician in classical music?
It has always been a difficult time because I think arts are a fragile matter, and art is always endangered. You know, it's the highest expression of humanity, and I think the natural tendency is always to for any civilization is to be attracted by the dark forces, by something low. And so therefore, I think it's always a challenge to keep the art, you know, alive. And today, maybe it's even more because the media are so in existence. I mean, you are there, thank you. But, you know, classical music is not really on TV, is not really so much on internet. And so the danger for me is that musical education will lose its power. And so what is important for today that the musician realize that they have to defend music, not only playing, but also advocating for music, you know, that they go to the audiences, that they just give the good news to everybody that music can change your life, that classical music can really enrich your life. And so it's good that the musicians now know that they have to go to schools, you know, to hospitals, to jails, to, any places, you know, outside on the street sometimes, you know, to just really be an advocate for classical music.
Do you feel like when you're working with a group like this, that you're also trying to pass along knowledge as sort of a teacher and not just a conductor, and maybe in this way or in other ways?
Definitely, when I conduct an orchestra of young people, I feel the need to deliver a few concepts or a few ideas or a few values that I believe in. So yes, I do take time in rehearsals. I speak maybe too much, by the way, to just deliver those. And it's fantastic because they are so open to receive it. And I really feel that it's little seeds that I can plant, and certainly some of those seeds will develop more or less slowly in their life. So it's a fantastic opportunity. I mean, I'm not so young anymore, and I feel it's time already to give back and transmit what I have received. And this is a great opportunity. So it has been very moving to work with the orchestra and feel that they would be so open-minded and so receptive to what I wanted to transmit to them.
To learn more about the Colburn Orchestra and all the exciting things happening at the Colburn School, visit their website, colburnschool.edu. For Arts Alive, I'm Tim Grieving.